Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we're joined on the podcast by frequent show guest Mark Balaguer, systems engineer at Barracuda MSP, as we delve into the security issues presented by the work-from-home world and the role zero trust plays in solving those issues. We discuss the trends shaping work-from-home security, what zero trust is and how it works to solve those problems, as well as how Barracuda's own CloudGen Access solution figures into the equation, and of course, most importantly, we double down on what it all means for you, the MSP. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Mark Balaguer. Mark, thanks for taking the time and joining the podcast once again. Glad to have you on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Want to talk a little bit about some of the security issues and challenges that face folks and face MSPs in this work from home world. You know, it's certainly a trend that has been accelerated dramatically by COVID-19, but some of us, myself included, can claim to have been home office based for a long time in a number of roles. But in as the pandemic runs its course, I think we're seeing the idea of return to the office for some, but maybe not for everyone, a little bit more flexibility in there, a little bit more. Of course, everything in the technology world is hybrid, right? So hybrid work seems to be the word du jour in that way, with employees working remotely sometimes, working remotely all the time, depending on, you know, depending on their role, depending on the organization, depending on a number of factors. What are some of the challenges that you see businesses facing when it comes to securing the enterprise where there is this larger, more expansive kind of surface that they're having to think about in terms of devices being used and networks being accessed?
Yeah, great question. Unfortunately, it's quite a few. There's all sorts of stuff going on. And, you know, March 2020, I'd say is a pretty average time, I think, for everyone sort of being forced to, you know, work remotely or work in a new location, obviously, depending on your geography. But really, it was just a huge spike in the VPN connections going on. And so that approach was successful, but it was really only designed to support a small number of remote workers. And in those cases, IT had, you know, their handle on all those policies that were associated with those workers. You know, they had hardened those corporate devices to give them access. And it was really kind of the exception, not really the rule in the past to have that remote worker connect in. And obviously that huge shift, you know, everyone working from home, that created a lot of issues, you know, having to build policy or in some cases not build policy and leave some of those VPN security vulnerabilities there. Because they were just focused on getting people back to work to be able to do their jobs, and security sort of took a backseat. And so that expanded workforce, you know, really also increased the use of the cloud-based applications, because not only were people working remote, but there's also a shift for people working on cloud-based applications. And so there's some additional complications there. So in the past, you're creating that VPN connection right into the corporate office. All the resources are there. All of the data centers are there. Well, now you've got that VPN back to the corporate office. And then from the corporate office, you're going up to a cloud. And so now you're kind of backhauling all of that traffic before it gets to the end user. And it really can create latency issues and just an overall frustrating user experience. I'm sure we've all been in situations where it's like, oh, I have to connect to VPN to get this. And this is just a nightmare. You know, I have to click and then wait. And it's just not a good working environment. So as a number of those businesses kind of move from the fully remote work kind of back to the hybrid scenarios, we're still having those applications being accessed, you know, via the cloud or even software as a service. And that also is kind of driving that increased use of BYOD for work responsibilities that are going to create some additional challenges for the business IT team or the service provider, you know, who's kind of ever helping out with the technology for the organization. So, you know, those organizations or divisions of the company are now really required to secure not only the corporate environment, kind of that corporate perimeter, but also these edge environments. So that software as a service environment, or the CEO just got a shiny new tablet and now they want to use it at home and they say, "Hey, go make this work." So that's kind of, you know, one side of it. And the other side, unfortunately, is cyber attacks are on the rise. You know, that's something I've been saying for years and years, and it just continues to grow. And so you've got that additional task of ensuring the security, connectivity, productivity with increasing amounts of cyber attacks. And it's just kind of a balancing act, because you have to make sure that people remain productive, but you can't sacrifice any of the security aspects of that. So that's a big piece of it. BYOD is probably the biggest factor, because those devices aren't controlled by an organization. They don't have any minimum requirements. There are capabilities with what's called a mobile device manager or MDM solution. But that's really designed for corporate devices. Most people aren't going to be like, yeah, you can install your corporate software on my personal phone. Sounds great. Yeah. So no one's really on board with that. And so it's kind of finding that split. Like I referred to earlier, like, you know, if the president comes in and says, I'm going to use this device, you know, the IT team is kind of like, well, we'll have to figure out how to make that work. And so that's just becoming more prevalent. So a zero trust network access solution can really come in handy for this. And basically what's going on is, instead of managing the device itself, it's managing the access requests. And, you know, introducing this ZTNA kind of solutions, you can protect your data and resources without having to manage the device itself in that traditional MDM sense. So you can say, you know, I'm going to allow you to access, you know, from whatever location at whatever time you want, but I'm going to verify that that device meets our baseline security requirements, and that only an authenticated and authorized user is going to be able to get access to that specific application. So lot to unwrap there, but overall, it's really critical, just because VPN was designed in the 90s. It was created in the 90s when things were architected a different way, and they worked great for that situation. And now there's a lot of changes and things that have gone on that really don't make it an ideal solution, and unfortunately not the most secure solution moving forward.
All right. Let's dive into a little bit in the area of zero trust, because it's an area that, you know, we hear a lot about, but maybe is somewhat ill-defined or somewhat mobius in some people's minds, myself included, I'll admit. A term we hear a lot. You know, what in your mind are the most important things that MSPs and other IT solution providers need to know about what zero trust is and how it works when they're advising their customers in this world that you've just painted the picture of?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a bit of a buzzword, as cloud was before and SD-WAN was before. And so there's association with a lot of things, but zero trust network access really is defined by the idea of being able to have an open network and restrict access, not based on what network a user is connected to, but on the device itself and those authorizations. So you want to make sure that that user is authenticated and authorized, their traffic is encrypted. You want to make sure that the device is up to a set of security standards, that, you know, a separate operating system, you know, whatever that baseline is, so you can trust that device and bring it onto the network. And really, you know, fundamentally, the idea is bringing trust to the device. So with BYOD, I can't control any of these devices, but I can bring enough trust to that device to say, hey, it's okay to come on the network. So as phishing schemes become more challenging to detect and prevent, there are a lot of issues with passwords and usernames being enough to make sure that an access to a resource is trustworthy. And so when you're leveraging a VPN connection, it's possible that that personal device that you're allowing in may have been compromised and isn't actually secure. And so that attacker who maybe had some malware on there because that end user hadn't updated their antivirus or their operating system or had a keylogger that the user was unaware of, well, now that attacker can basically access anything because they have that username and password. And so it's unfortunately creating situations where just that username and password isn't secure enough. And so you need some extra steps to have more security related to the device itself. So with zero trust as an approach, the businesses are going to be able to protect their users, the devices, and the distributed workloads. So, you know, that on-prem network and all that information and stuff stored in the data center, as well as cloud environments where you've got resources stored there as well too. Barracuda MSP actually recently announced the availability of our multi-tenanted zero trust network access solution, and that's called Barracuda CloudGen Access. Mm-hmm. And so this solution is going to continuously verify that the right person, the authorized device, and proper permissions are in place for accessing the application or company data. CloudGen Access is going to provide this authorization and access management and workflow. We have a management portal software as a service, being able to support multi-cloud or hybrid IT environments without the need to have to do that VPN backhauling, which is going to, again, downgrade the performance, affect the user experience, and ultimately just isn't as secure and isn't a good fit for the modern needs of today's environments.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe going back to, you know, one of my grade six teachers' favorite types of questions, sort of the compare and contrast. You know, what can you tell me sort of about Zero Trust compared to the traditional VPN environment, and why businesses should think Zero Trust instead, maybe? And are there benefits to the MSP in particular that we should highlight in terms of Zero Trust over more legacy infrastructures?
Yeah, absolutely. From a high level, I would say a good analogy is if you compare VPN access to getting into a stadium to watch a football game or something like that. You get checked at the door, you scan your ticket, and you know, you're kind of good. You can go wander around and do whatever you want. So that's usually the case for most VPN connections, where cloud gen access would be something like trying to go visit the warden in a prison. So you get checked at the door, but you're also ensured that you only get access to a certain hallway or a certain corridor. And then you're checked every step of the way to make sure that you are, you know, authorized and allowed to be in this place. So from a high level, I think that's a really good comparison. It's just that additional level of security and consistent checking of the end device to make sure that it is compliant and that user is only allowed to that specific resource. So we see the solutions you can potentially... with VPN, make everything slower because there's just so much more policy to have to configure. With a zero trust approach, like Barracuda Cloud Gen Access, you're going to have a lot more flexibility to support these devices and build policies much more quickly and easily. Obviously, we're still kind of reeling, I think, from everything that happened with the pandemic, forcing to quickly put together a solution that was, hey, we just need you to do your job, and security kind of taking a backseat to that. With Zero Trust, you can really kind of get in front of that and allow that capability, like I said, for the BYOD when someone brings in a new device they want to use or access corporate resources from wherever without having those hassles of, oh, you have to do this thing and that other thing. And we have to build this policy specifically for this specific device and all this other overhead related to IT or whoever's, you know, managing that to deployment. It's just, again, not feasible to scale that out to an entire organization. So that's the one aspect of it. And then the VPN itself, you know, not keeping up with the level of security and responsiveness required by the employees working remotely. So not having the access to a cloud environment if you're connected to a local environment. I got to disconnect my VPN here and I got to reconnect it somewhere else because all those resources are now spread out. So the other piece of that is, you know, providing that protection for the remote workers. I kind of alluded to it before with someone having a piece of malware or a keylogger on their device, you know, being able to integrate to an identity provider to do things like multi-factor authentication very, very quickly and easily. You'll pass those credentials to whatever that software as a service is or that additional resource requirement to get that access. So just all in all, ways to create more and more secure environments over that traditional kind of teleportation of a VPN that's going to create. So it's basically teleporting your laptop into the corporate environment without really any checks. You wouldn't let someone walk into your organization and plug in their personal computer to your network jack. Well, with a VPN, if you're just trying to scale that rapidly, that's essentially what's happening. And so you really want to prevent that. So, and the last piece I'll mention kind of more on the sales side of things is Cloud Gen Access is going to really allow MSPs to monetize those additional devices that users are connecting with. By providing that additional security, you know, they can go ahead and add that as part of their portfolio to help secure those customer environments.
Right, it's that chance to go in and say, all right, we have things, we got through the worst of this, the initial push. Now it's time to have that sober second look and think about how we make this sustainable for the long term, I guess.
Exactly. You want to learn from your mistakes. Hopefully, none of your mistakes cost you too much. But you know, seeing the trends and seeing some of the really unfortunate things that happened, these compromises. Absolutely. You want to, you know, take another look for sure.
All right. As with all things security, it seems I'm sure there are things that MSP should be thinking about in this hybrid work environment beyond and in addition to zero trust. What are some of those other factors, some of those other things that MSPs should be keeping in mind when kind of building that post-pandemic hybrid work environment security strategy for their customers?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I end up discussing this with a lot of different organizations and a lot of different verticals. And really, it comes down to a multi-layered protection strategy. That's kind of the best thing I can say as a takeaway. So seeing some of the concerns from small and medium businesses, I've got a little cheat sheet here that kind of talks about, you know, their top concerns. And the big one at 64% is protection in home or public network connections. So those Wi-Fi mm-hmm. environments, how are we going to secure that? 56%. Again, accessing applications from personal devices. How do you secure and protect that? And then another big one at 42% was just the user awareness and training. So making sure people are educated about, you know, and this goes all over the place. Hey, how should I securely connect? How do I secure my device? How am I educated about other factors? Email, how do I avoid malware and phishing attacks? So all these other pieces are kind of interlocking together. And so you want to leverage that multi-layered approach to reduce people's susceptibility to these type of cyber attacks, and so they can better defend their environment. As far as key points that MSPs really need to be thinking about, again, with that multi-layered approach, zero trust absolutely critical these days, but you also have to ensure that you have all the other security tools in place as well. You can't just drop something in and, you know, there's not one kind of silver bullet that's like, this is going to fix everything. You need to gain a picture of what's happening in the customer's environment and be ready to provide guidance and assistance if they're looking to roll out a new project and say, well, yes, that's great. You're going to be able to access this resource in this other place, but you know, how are you going to secure that? You know, make sure that that's always kind of, you know, in that customer's mind. The other one, security is not just about prevention. It's really the ability to remediate the threats as well. So yes, you're absolutely going to do your best to make sure that the environment's secure, but you also need to make sure that you can remediate it. You can track it down. You know who had access to what, who did this, what was that post-mortem situation. So you can, you know, hopefully learn from it and not have it happen again. Again, in a perfect world, you know, we would prevent everything and that would be fine. But, you know, in the real world, unfortunately, it does happen. And so you want to make sure you have the right knowledge and experience and tools to go ahead and be capable of doing that. Another piece, absolutely necessary to have a dedicated security staff. And I would even go further to say that everyone should be thinking about security at all times. It's just part, it's ingrained in every conversation just because the risk is so high. One large mess up can really damage a reputation. It can damage the bottom line. And so if you know that any type of oversight there can be very, very costly. Relatively new to me as far as these requirements is kind of coming on the insurance side, oddly enough. So anyone dealing with cybersecurity insurance, I'm starting to hear situations where the insurance companies are saying, hey, if you don't have a ZTNA solution deployed, we're going to raise your rates exorbitantly or just drop you entirely just because they see it as too high of a risk. It's like if you want insurance for your car, you know, they're going to make sure that you have seatbelts, you know, that kind of idea. It's like, you don't want to become uninsurable, because right. you're not implementing a solution that is the most secure. And now, you know, my personal opinion, I'm a security guy and I always, you know, wish everyone was very security forward and like, yeah, we should do this and get in front of this. But unfortunately, a lot of times it's, you know, what's the bottom line and how is this going to harm me? And with the security companies and cybersecurity insurance kind of, I guess leading the way as far as requiring it, you're seeing a lot of interest there. So from the SMBs, you know, MSPs are going to, I think, get a lot more phone calls of, hey, I just got a quote for my cybersecurity insurance and, you know, quadrupled. You know, why is that? And what's ZTNA? So being able to handle that. And again, being able to sell the security to the customers. So I would say those are all things you want to pay attention to. It's my opinion that the writing's kind of on the wall with some executive orders and recent attacks on oil pipelines and in different environments, through, you know, really, you know, in the United States and in North America and, you know, throughout the world. It's kind of consistent, but I think there's a very harsh realization that this type of security is going to be a requirement very, very soon and starting to get built into standards. So from that aspect as well, good to have those conversations beforehand and be sure that you can have that portfolio that can protect your customers once these do become a full requirement.
All right. Makes sense. To bring it home, is there anything else that that our listeners need to know about how you guys are tackling this and you know, about CloudGen Access, which you brought up a couple times in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. So Barracuda is always going to continue to expand our portfolio of solutions and services for our IT managed service providers, you know, continuing to innovate. The launch of Barracuda CloudGen Access was a big piece of that. Mm-hmm. Again, staying in front of these requirements from a security-centric process and ideals, we want to make sure that, you know, we can help you succeed as an MSP with that. So with CloudGen Access in particular, you're going to be able to easily expand your security services to protect your customers' resources, implement control for those unmanaged BYOD devices, be sure that you can implement all this without really affecting their day-to-day, so you can move resources and they're not going to have to know, oh, I need to make a connection here or there, kind of automate that whole process, just make it a really easy experience for them. And by doing that, you're going to increase your value, strengthen their security posture, and make sure that they're safeguarded against a breach by not allowing any kind of, you know, insecure or potentially compromised device into the network. And then, you know, by doing all this, by kind of, you know, embracing this new technology and implementing into your multi-layered approach, you're going to be able to continue to drive business continuity, make sure that your customers are remaining productive, and again, help them on their security journey to make sure that they're successful.
All right, great. Thanks for filling us in on Zero Trust and so much of this new world of security in a hybrid work environment. I appreciate your being on the show once again.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
There you have it, a look at work-from-home security and Zero Trust, courtesy of Barracuda MSP's Mark Balaguer. I'd like to thank Mark for joining us once again for the show, thank Barracuda for their continuing support of the site, and, of course, thank you for listening today. The ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back later this week as we're joined by Anthony James of Infoblox to discuss the company's newly announced Infoblox 3.0 strategy. It's not just a product release, it's a cloud-first strategy that promises to provide some intriguing new opportunities for Infoblox partners, new and old alike. Between now and then, though, we'd invite you to subscribe or follow the podcast in your podcatcher of choice. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a review to help others find it. If you didn't like it, I'm sure you got other things to do today, right? You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and many other places where pods are cast. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.